Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning, St. Louis. What day is it, Carl? I'm so confused.
It's the 27th.
It's Friday. Yeah. It's so weird to be off for 3 days and then be back on a Friday. I just have to tell you.
Next week's going to be weirder.
The only living, breathing human beings referred to as talent in the building today, just about. Pretty much covers it. There may be a couple more people in here down the hall, but it is like a ghost town around here during the holidays. Everybody takes why do you save your vacation at the end of the year? I don't get that. I've used most of my vacation through the summer months and had some fantastic trips, and I'm here in the chair with you this morning as a direct result of that. They needed bodies, and my body is sitting in the chair doing a show for you this morning. Hopefully you had a fabulous Christmas and a happy Hanukkah and all of that good stuff, and you're kind of relaxing. I know a lot of people that went back to work yesterday. It's weird to have the big holiday like Christmas for me in the middle of the week. You know, if it had been a Thursday, they would have given us Friday off. If it had been a Tuesday, they would have given us Monday off, and then we'd have maybe worked the rest of the week. But to have it hit smack dab on a Wednesday was just very, very strange, very unusual. But we're happy to be back. Had some fantastic family time. Got to see the joy on the faces of my two young grandchildren as they got their presents and enjoyed those, and that's really kind of all, you know, for me, beyond going and going to church and remembering the reason that we celebrate Christmas, that's the next greatest thing. It's just watching that. And, look at that. I'm on camera suddenly.
Hey, we're twinsies.
Carl, we're matching. We both wore our Mark Cox Morning Show long sleeve t-shirts that I've just rolled out this year. Not available to the general public yet. Sorry to be a Grinch on the 2 days after Christmas, but that's true. Carl, what did you do yesterday?
I was here with Ryan Record.
No, I mean, what did you do after that? Did you go to the mall or anything dumb like
Actually,
that?
Actually, yes.
I did too.
I know.
Very strange.
We, you know, but it wasn't to return anything. It was to pick something up that had been waiting.
Oh.
Or else I would have not gone to the
mall. Yeah. Well, I did go yesterday with my wife, and we took the grandkids, the little ones out there to the West County Mall against my better judgment. We went early, and oddly enough, it was not a zoo. I really expected it to be crazy. We got there right at just about 10 o'clock, and it was actually pretty peaceful. I expected there to be a lot more people. People must have made good buying decisions this year.
Yeah.
They weren't lying. I mean, my wife, of course, didn't like the clothing I bought her, so she had to return that. And the jewelry I bought her, she did like, but it was too small. She told me to buy a small. I bought a small. And this particular bracelet was smaller than she thought, so I was off the hook. So she took it back, and she got a different one and seemed to be satisfied with that one. So that's a good thing. Hopefully all went well for you. It's been a fairly slow news week. I mean, unless you consider the fact that we're about to annex Canada and take back the Panama Canal.
And Greenland.
Oh, and Greenland. Yeah, I forgot about that. We're gonna leverage the purchase of Greenland. It cracks me up to watch the media reaction to all this. He's supposed to be a peaceful president. Why is he talking about coming in office and starting wars? We're not going to fire a shot to do any of those things. Trump tweeted, I love how he trolls. He tweeted out yesterday, if Canada just became our 51st state, their taxes would drop by 60%. Canadians are up there going, eh? Wait a minute. What did he say?
But they got the healthcare thingy going.
Oh, yeah, but we donate half of our 70% of our incomes, but so we get free healthcare. Yeah, that's it. Eh.
That we pay for it.
Yeah, but through the 70% of our taxes that they take. Eh. No, thank you. Which is why everybody that lives near the border has their own independent insurance policy. We know what's going on up there. Anyway, but we still got lots of good stuff to get to for you a little later. I got some great stuff from Greg Jarrett I want you to hear this morning. A little bit later, what's going to happen with some of these cabinet picks? Because if you've noticed, that's kind of fallen out of the mainstream media spotlight. Hegseth, when's the last time you heard his name? Unless you heard it in a year-ender. Tulsi Gabbard, all these folks, what's going on with them? We're going to kind of get an update on that from Ethan Watson coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. Ryan Schmell is going to join us a little later. We're going to talk to Eben Brown, and we're going to talk about some of these states that have vowed to fight on and to resist Donald Trump's attempts to kick illegal aliens out of the country. So that's not going to go well for them. And some of their governors may be sacrificing their political careers to go to prison for this nonsense. It just, they're more worried about people who are not their constituents than the people who are these individuals. So we'll get to all that for you coming up here shortly. Right now, we're going to get to this morning's top story.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Melania and I are delighted to wish America and the entire world a very Merry Christmas. Melania and I are truly thrilled to wish every American a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you notice he didn't say non-Americans. He didn't say illegal aliens. He's like, get out. Get out. We're coming for you. You better hurry.
This is not 2020 anymore. Woke is done. DEI is done. The American people want to get back to work. And these companies understand that at the end of the day, their consumers are, by and large, the American people.
Really? I wonder when the governors realize that. That's Tommy Lahren commenting over the weekend on the fact that so many of these companies are jettisoning these DEI programs quickly now that they're not staring down the barrel of a gun from the Biden administration.
You actually have this operation in phases, as you mentioned, focused on the 1.4, 1.5 million that already have orders of removal that are received due process, focused on locating gotaways.
Thank you. That guy's great. I want that guy to be the assistant border czar. And he has been a guest on this show many times. That is Lieutenant Chris Olivares with the Department of Public Safety down in Texas. Remember, Griff does ride-alongs with him and then hands the phone over to the guy to talk to us. He's great.
Want me to wish you happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is, but happy Chinooka because they said so. Anyway, God bless you, babe, and enjoy Chinooka. Have a wonderful time.
Carl, how did I forget that?
Smokey Robinson. It's day two of Chinooka.
Happy Chinooka to all of you. Smokey Robinson. I don't know. He was doing one of those things you can
Cameo.
Pay for a greeting, right, on Cameo.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent one to him to read, and I don't know what Chinooka is, but happy Chinooka.
So, but now, if you go to Instagram or Facebook or Reels or TikTok, the very first reply under that is Smokey Robinson saying, I know what it is now. I just couldn't read it.
I'm sorry. That's right up there with Chihuahua and WKRP in Cincinnati all those years
Chai-chai
ago.
Chai Chai Rodriguez.
Yeah, Chai Chai. Oh, man. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Thank you, Carl, for throwing
You're
that
welcome.
In there. We need a little humor this morning. One of the local stories that's kind of developing, and it really is a slow news day, is that yesterday, Wesley Bell, who is a week away. Well, wait a minute. Today's so he's less than a week away from being the first district member of Congress.
A week from today, isn't it?
Yeah. So going out the door. What did he do yesterday? He held a news conference announcing that he's reopening the investigation into Congressman Dennis Hancock for something that happened 2 years ago, right? They allege that he tried to hire a family member. And the really interesting part about this, Jane Duker's into it online with Mark Maxwell, the investigative reporter over at News Channel 5. If you're watching Snooze Channel 5 these days, you'll recognize that name. These two are into it over what the new evidence is, because as Jane Duker points out, and as has been pointed out to me, I invited Dennis on the show today, and he goes, given the fact that they held this new news conference, he didn't think it was a good timing for him to come on here till they find out more details about it. The attorneys for Hancock tell me that there's no new there, that there's nothing in the new allegation that Bell rolled out on Thursday that's any different than the allegation that was rolled out eventually. That they alleged that Dennis Hancock tried to hire a family member, and when informed that you can't do that, dropped it. But apparently they're going to try to kick him out of, because Sam Page would do anything to gain a solid Dem control of the county council. So he's trying to jettison Dennis Hancock. He lost his bid to rig the Tracus seat down there. That didn't work for him. So now he's going to try to toss another incumbent Republican off county council with what I'm told, no new evidence that any. Now they're alleging some sort of a cover up on the part of a clerk or something like that to protect this thing. So this is very interesting. It looks like the county council might have its own counsel defending Hancock in this situation. So remember, they passed that law that would allow counsel to have their own attorney, singular, to represent the council. So in the weeds there. But anyway, that's what's going on, in case you missed that story yesterday. We're going to get to a quick break here this morning. And Carl, yeah. I guess I don't have to guess very far on exactly who's bringing us our national anthem.
Welcome back.
Are you going to surprise me?
Yes.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
This is Al Gore. I may be bat crazy when it comes to climate change, but I never miss the Mark Cox Show.
All right, how about that? A little rain all day today. Now, here, Carl Middleman, what's on your agenda for today, Carl?
I'm here.
Yes,
we're going to record Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors at 9 o'clock.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
We're going to take a nap, and then there's Blues hockey this evening.
Oh, good, because they need to get back on the winning track, right?
I think they won. They did. They won 4-0 in Detroit on Monday. Wow, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it?
It does. Seems like a year ago, but not quite. That'll be next week.
They play tonight here in St. Louis, and then Sunday afternoon here against Buffalo, and then they play in the Winter Classic on New Year's Eve at Wrigley Field.
So I am scheduled to go bird hunting today.
In the rain.
How do you schedule? How do you avoid? I mean, we made the plans a week out, and now we're looking at it, and it's pouring rain. There's supposed to be a break for the period of time we're hunting.
Yes, it's supposed to stop around 9-ish.
We'll be wandering through some muddy fields at some point today.
And your blind is covered, right?
No, we're not duck hunting. We are pheasant or chucker hunting. So we're going to be out there with the thunder sticks trying to kill some birds at some point today.
Well, it's supposed to stop around 9.
Well, we'll be down near Herman. So it looks to me like, according to the radar, there's a pretty good break in that part of the state for a couple of hours. But if it's a light rain, that doesn't bother me. That'll be fun. That's always a good time.
49 degrees.
My buddy Joe has a couple of beautiful dogs, Max and Frankie, and they'll do all the hard work. And basically, all we have to do is walk.
Well, you have to take down the pheasants.
That's not difficult.
Okay.
Generally speaking, very few of them ever live to tell the tale. But you know, occasionally one gets away, and if they do, sayonara. You just won your freedom, right? You won the lottery. You did. It's true. It's very true. So here is something that I don't know if you've seen this or not, because most of you probably don't read The Hill. But there is an opinion piece by a couple of lefties at the Columbia Law Review. The editor-in-chief, Evan Davis, and the editor-in-chief of the Yale Law Review, David Schulte. And here's what they say yesterday, and time's running out because Joe's on vacation. The Constitution provides that an oath-breaking insurrectionist is ineligible to be president. This is the plain wording of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. The disability can be removed. They now refer to him as a disability. That the disability can be removed by a two-thirds vote in each house. So these idiots think that two-thirds of the people, Republicans controlling the House and the Senate. Now they do till January 3rd. Of course, they're in recess right now. But that they if two-thirds of them could vote to disqualify Donald Trump and install Kamala Harris as president of the United States. Congress has the power to block Trump from taking office, but lawmakers must act now. And here's the weirdest thing about this. In the past, my comment to this was, why did they waste trees to print something like that on? But in reality, they probably don't print that newspaper anymore. It's just all digital, so it's just words in the air. It means absolutely nothing. These people are lawyers, for God's sake. If your kid goes to Yale, you pay, what, $80,000 a year to let him be taught by idiots like this? Seriously. What are we paying for, folks? Let's wake up. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
You know, I looked this up today. 40% of Joe Biden's presidency has been spent on vacation. That is roughly 550 days. Now, if you do a little math, it would take the average American 48 years to rack up that many vacation days. As you sort of look back on the last 4 years, is it a little bit frightening that we had a president who mentally and physically wasn't even there?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is. Count me in. So he's got a precious, 20 days left of his presidency, whatever it is, 25 days. And now he's in St. Croix. Dr. Jill, I'm sure, planned that trip. He's on the beach at some big donor's estate down in St. Croix. Now, that's okay, but heaven forbid a Supreme Court justice like Clarence Thomas goes and stays at his buddy's house somewhere on a yacht, because that's a conflict of interest. But it was never a conflict of interest for Joe Biden to, you know, be treated by his rich billionaire friends who are all over the globe, because Joe's been working hard to become one of them. That is a rich billionaire type. Now, he's probably a long way from being a billionaire, but you see my point. Point being that Joe Biden has been a public servant his entire life, right? Joe Biden has been on the public dole his entire life. Now that he's achieved the presidency, he's getting $400,000 a year. Nothing to sneeze at. Don't get me wrong. I've never made $400,000 a year. Nothing to sneeze at. But he's only been making that since he's been president. He's making probably, I guess, 200 grand plus when he was vice president for under Barack Obama. Not nearly enough to have three homes, beachfront property in Delaware, all of this stuff. It's grift is what it is. He has enriched himself off the public dole, just like Nancy Pelosi and countless of other politicians, Democrat and Republican, in Washington, D.C., over the past 45 years of his career. But more than that, a bunch of that money has come from foreign governments since he was vice president of the United States, funneled through his son, as James Comer discovered, and 37 different shell companies that this money gets filtered through before a portion of it goes to the big guy. And it was interesting because Scott Jennings, who I've long had, you know, a so-so relationship with, I don't know Jennings personally. I know he's on Reardon's show on occasion. But he's pretty moderate on a lot of issues and very lukewarm on Donald Trump over the years, and that's fine. But when it comes to people who have a C after their name, that is a conservative commentator on CNN, Jennings is at the top of the pile right now. He's the only one over there who ever says anything that makes any sense. And he got into it yesterday with one of their reporterettes who said on her show, well, nobody's ever shown me any proof that Joe Biden ever did anything wrong. And Carl, if you can play that bite for me out of the K drive there, please.
Scott.
Did it not?
4 years of Donald Trump, 4 years of a Joe Biden DOJ looking into these very things. I'm still waiting to see.
Well, he can't be charged. He's the president.
Right?
Joe Biden can't be charged.
I'm not talking about charges. I'm still waiting to see the proof of Joe Biden enriching himself. I take his brother and his son, perhaps.
I'll give you the direct
line. Your colleague, James Comer, could have produced the evidence, and he didn't.
He did. A Chinese company transferred money to a shell company owned by Hunter and Jim Biden that then transferred money directly to Jim and Sarah Biden's shell company, that then transferred the money to Jim and Sarah's personal account, who then immediately wrote a check for $40,000 to Joe Biden. So to say that there was no evidence, is not true.
This is like Leslie Stahl. 60 Minutes continues to... They did for the most part a decent job last weekend with the 60 Minutes piece on the pagers blowing up all over Israel. They went and they interviewed somebody deep within the Mossad, and they digitalized their voices, and in the actual interviews they had full face masks on with glasses on top of that, and you couldn't even see their jaws moving. So it's like they recorded the interview separately with the audio, and then they just sat somebody in front of her with a mask on who didn't appear to be saying anything. And my question here is for this CNN reporterette, just like Leslie Stahl, who they continue to push as one of their premier journalists, when you've been schooled by Donald Trump enough times, is it maybe time to retire, Leslie? Leslie famously said into the microphone, there's no evidence that Hunter Biden's laptop is real. We can't confirm that it's real. Trump goes, oh, it's real. His picture is all over it. His emails with his dad are all over it. His personal emails with his dad are all over it. Emails begging foreign countries for millions of dollars for access to his dad are all over it. You can deny it all you want. No, that is not true. We cannot confirm that, says Leslie Stahl. And to this day, she still has a job as a journalist in this country. It is amazing.
She's 83.
I know, right? She's put her money to good use, clearly. But I just mean clean living, Carl. The point being, they all like to play this game. They need to stick with stuff like this, the interview on the pagers. I mean, that was great. that was really great. It was a good, I mean, I don't know that anybody's talked to Mossad about it. Does Mossad normally make people available to be interviewed? I don't think that they do. They're just out there screwing things up. If you listen to that interview, the interesting thing about it was that that as we knew and suspected, they play the long game in Israel. This thing took, first of all, a couple of years of research and development to develop the pager so that it would blow up, but it wouldn't blow up so bad that it would also injure the person standing next to the terrorist. I mean, that was some class A R&D there, right? So first of all, they had to develop that. Then when they developed it, they realized it was several times thicker and bigger than a regular pager. So they're like, how are we going to sell this to people? Oh, I've got an idea. Let's sell it as something rugged and durable for the terrorist in you. I mean, for the macho person in you. You can't, our pager's indestructible. It's bigger than that other pager. And then suddenly everybody wanted one, right? So they go through Abe Goldblum's Pager Emporium and they start marketing these things. And I'm just kidding. They did it through a shell company and a third company, I don't know where, out of Switzerland or something. And of course, Hezbollah catches sight of it and they decide, oh, we have got to have some of those. So they gave them the first shipment for free to try them out. And before long, they bought thousands of them. And then it was just a matter of time until they set them all off because they knew they don't use phones anymore because they're afraid they'll be tracked. They've also got two-way radios, but they rarely turn them on because they know we can detect them. Plus, we've already rigged those as well. We'll buy a pager. We'll send you a free two-way radio. So they had all these two-way radios packed with explosives, too. And then, of course, after the pagers, it just showed all the video of the people injured, pagers blowing up a day or two later because they have to put them in the ground pretty quick over there. They were all at the funerals using the two-way radios because they were afraid to use the pagers. And then all the two-way radios blew up and killed and maimed more of them. So actually, that was a decent piece of journalism they did there for 60 Minutes. But back to my original point. These reporters really hurt their credibility when they look at the extensive investigation that James Comer did using only information from banks because the White House wouldn't give him any of the information he requested on Joe Biden's emails. And he showed a pretty clear path to where some of this foreign money ended up in Joe Biden's bank account. In any other scenario, he'd be in prison when he steps out of the White House. Not in America, I'm sure. Not in America. All right, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. We're supposed to get some, believe it or not, some key economic data is supposed to drop on this Friday before the new year. We're going to get to Nicole Murray on that coming up at about 6:35 this morning. We'll be back in just a minute. Sorry.
So, no, you're singing along, but the people on the socials can only hear you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You should have heard Diamond Dave there and not me. This is, you know, this is not going to surprise most people who are honest about the state of religion these days, because I've been very vocal this year, probably to the dismay of some people in certain religious channels, of the fact that there were not more of these pastors, traditional and otherwise, who didn't stand up and fight harder against Amendment 3. If they did it out of some fear of losing their tax-exempt status, they were either, number one, misinformed, or they didn't have the guts to do it. Because they weren't going to lose their tax-exempt status. This was not getting involved in a political campaign, as in electing an official. It was a referendum. It was a public referendum with very real-life consequences. Untold thousands of children will die because more pastors did not get involved in standing up and telling people to go to the polls and vote their faith. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. But it does give you a little glimpse into the fact that very often the message you hear from your church is impacted by politics, whether you like it or not, and maybe you like to think that it's not. We see it out of the current pope all the time. I'm just saying. And it's not unusual in other religious areas. So then this story comes along, reported by the Daily Mail a couple days ago when I was off. Priests have been told to edit popular carols this Christmas to avoid upsetting other religions. This one comes from the Church of England. The Church of England's been accused of, quote, losing the plot, end quote, after it urged clergy to alter Advent hymns so that congregations can celebrate the festive season without causing unnecessary offense. Christian hymns such as O Come, Emmanuel have been singled out for depicting other faiths as being outside of God's grace. Hello? An email sent to clergy in the Birmingham, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly for England, aren't I? It's Birmingham. The Birmingham diocese said, try to use language that won't add further confusion or tension or take away anything from the good news of the Nativity. Instead of speaking the truth, I mean, that's kind of what Jesus did, is he spoke the truth, and now they don't want to speak the truth. Also targeted was Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, a favorite of Queen Victoria, apparently. One of the vicars said, the weird thing is that even Vladimir Putin doesn't order Orthodox churches to censor carols at Christmas time. Are you kidding me? O Come, O Come, Emmanuel has upset some with the high command on the phrase captive Israel. A former member of the General Synod and executive secretary of the Anglican mainstream group said hymns should not be altered because the church conforms to every progressive cause. Wow. He added, if one was attending a Jewish or Hindu festival, would you expect them to alter the lyrics or alter the liturgy because there are some who might find them difficult? Who are the people they think are going to object to this? That is such a beautiful point. They didn't want anybody to be confused, they said. The debacle has echoes of a row in 2022 prompted by attempts to rewrite the 17th century carol God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, supposedly to be more inclusive to women and gay people. Thank goodness that one failed. Or should I say, thank God that one failed. What in the world have we come to?
And these people are going to church on Christmas.
On Christmas. To celebrate the birth of Christ.
So if they haven't been there already, they already feel guilty.
They already feeling guilty, afraid the church is going to topple down on them. And now they've got leaders of the church trying to water down. It didn't happen in America, but Lord knows it could. We're bound to have more liberal denominations over here than they'd have in the Church of England, if I had to guess. But I could be wrong.
Those
I could
Anglicans.
Be wrong. Those Anglicans. Come on, folks. What are we doing here? Wow. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with the plans for the 20th of January, right after Donald Trump gets elected. They're going to reopen some of those family detention centers down along the border. And Tom Homan is already talking about it because he's like, well, we're not going to separate them. We'll send them all back together. Why would we do anything differently? We're going to talk about that. And we'll get to another news with Ethan as well in the next hour. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.